smaller than this. Which modern science has created to help you and your brain to create alpha and theta rays or cycles in your brain, the equivalent of dharana and dhyana stage of Yoga Sutra. So, I read an article the other day, very good article. The title was, Is Patanjali Dead and Wanted No More? The title of the small article was, Is Patanjali Dead and Wanted No More? Because if you put on the machine and if you go into the state of dana and dhyana and your brain starts making alpha cycles and theta cycles, fortunately they don't limp to come up to the delta cycles of samadhi. Perhaps in a year or two they'll come up with that improved machine to take you to samadhi stage. Small gimmick. I'm afraid to use it even, it is so small. This is the machine that will put you into the state of dharana and dhyana. And the note as given by the manufacturers is here, which states how you can achieve when you have the cycles of alpha and theta. Your mind is very clear, you are very peaceful. You have the problem-solving ability. You have the psychic inspiration, and etc., etc., etc. This is the machine. And here is a small knob. Yeah. Put it this way, and you get alpha. And if you put it this way, you'll get theta waves. I don't want to criticize it. I don't want to say it's not wanted. Day after tomorrow, I'll take one of you and try it out. One of you from among those who are present here.
What is the cost?
The cost is around $200. In the vicinity of 6-7,000 rupees. But in 6-7,000 rupees, without doing anything, if you can reach the state of dharma and dhyana, oh, how wonderful it is. Not to hear to my lectures, not to... Huh? Have you done your refining and have you done your upgrading? Huh? To be free from all that nonsense. Huh? Just apply the machine and see. How nice. We'll see whether it does work. Good. You want? Yeah. You. You have the full notes or only the last page?
Full notes.
Full notes, good. From page 1, we will read 7 and 8. These outer coverings create obstacles and hindrances and prevent totality of knowledge, that is wisdom, which is our natural state. In its place, we only tediously gather knowledge which is mithya. It is the same with our natural rhythmic breathing. Number 8. That life in the objective world is memory. But memory like space is three-dimensional. Past, present and future into a single now, the point in time. We must understand this point in time to be aware of the multi dimensions of space-time. Then we reach 12. So it is necessary at first to exile memory, that is diagram 3B, and later to so deeply freeze memory, diagram 3C, that incoming impulses cease to enter and register themselves and are unable with memory to create non-stop unceasing river of thoughts concerning the objective world and prevent us from going deeper within our own self. All this enables us to experience the unified field of nature, first subjectively and then objectively. Science will never be able to experience. It can only write equations. From 15 and 16 we'll read. This means that from the point of our broken and surface awareness, we must reach out to unbroken and deep awareness, reaching up to pure awareness. 16. Unbroken and deep awareness, that is pure awareness, is the awareness of infinite divine mind, and it means to be aware always in all conditions, in sleep and more importantly in death, and between the moment of death to the moment of next birth in the next life, and also during the intervening period. This is the main progress, this is the main purpose of life and birth. All else is mithya knowledge. And 17. This is possible only when in any one objective life, whether it be this or any subsequent life, we learn the technique of linking our individual mind and brain to the infinite mind and experience the subjective and thereby the objective existence. To understand all that I have read now, it is very simple. All you have to do is to take this machine and hook on so that all the time you are in alpha awareness or in theta awareness, so your awareness is never broken. The human being is perhaps a rare creation, because only human being has the possibility of upgrading and enhancing the state of awareness. The state of awareness is upgraded when the rates of thoughts per second come down. The awareness rises up, the rate of thoughts form comes down. Awareness is very difficult to describe. Just as mind is difficult to describe, awareness is very difficult to describe, because it is a quality that belongs to the brain. And when I say brain, I mean every cell in the human body, because every cell in the human body has a brain. And the collective awareness of all the cells and every cell of the gray matter together form the awareness of a human being. If this awareness were to increase in its quality and its scope, the human being looks a different type of human being. I would not rather use the word looks, but is a different type of human being, because outside looks don't make any difference. During the day, from the moment we wake up in the morning to the moment we go to bed at night, we honestly feel that we are aware. Normal human being and his awareness does not exceed the awareness enjoyed by a wild animal in a forest. At various stages, this very low grade of awareness sinks to near zero. When it sinks to near zero, we become unconscious or we fall asleep. If the length of sleep, instead of being 8 hours or 6 hours at night, if it were to be for a couple of years, 30 years, 40 years, then when we wake up again, we forget what we were when we went to sleep. When we die, we go to sleep. When we wake up, we are born again. So when we wake up, we don't remember what we were when we went to sleep. Because of this gap that is not understood, we have all the religions in the world, all the philosophies in the world. But if you don't act properly now, before going to sleep, when you will get up, you will suffer like this. So all the religions started saying this. Going to sleep, long sleep was called death, and waking up was called birth. The theory is correct that we sleep in one life and wake up in another. There must be a link. That link is memory. Last time also I explained to you that in our human brain are three small pulsating atoms. If you have got those diagrams with you, even in the book you have got today at the back there are diagrams. In that diagram you will see 1, 2, 3. These are the three pulsating atoms. In the Mahakal area, each individual has a causal body in which pulsate three permanent seed atoms. The one in the brain are freshly put on at every birth. In the causal body are three atoms, one for the physical life, one for the astral life, one for the mental life, bhuva, swaha. And the recordings there are permanently and faithfully maintained. Since from sleep to waking up, one discards one body and takes another, the discarded body and the new body adopted should have a link based on this memory that is held in permanent seed atoms. And this memory that is held in the permanent seed atom is transferred to the three pulsating atoms in the brain of human being. Can we be aware of these pulsations? Can we be aware of these pulsations in the atoms, these three atoms in our brain during our life? If we can be conscious and aware of these three atoms in our brain, if we follow certain techniques of being aware of these three atoms in our brain, at the time of death or during higher practices, we are able to contact these three atoms to those three atoms in the causal body. If in any one life that is practiced, then in the forthcoming new birth, one is able to, by contact with the three seed atoms, to know the awareness that is totally inscribed in those seed atoms and to know backwards as to what I was when I last fell asleep. If this is not done, whatever else that you do is of no importance. And Yoga Sutra basically teaches this important subject. It does talk about yoga in general, but basically it teaches this very important aspect of human life. What happens when we fall asleep in one life and wake up in the next, and in between whatever that should or could happen, and why does it happen that way? This is the important fact of life. For these various techniques, various philosophies are there, how you could slow down the rate of your thinking so that your awareness keeps increasing, and when your awareness comes up to a certain stage, your brain is able to record faithfully why I am born here, why I am born in the manner I am born, why I suffer or enjoy the way I do. All this has to be learned. The important practice is very much known to every man, woman and child in India are the practices of Dana, Dhyana, Samadhi. I am afraid, though every man, woman and child may know these words, they are mere words as far as the understanding of these words are concerned. Today we shall begin to go deeper into this subject. My idea of bringing to you the machine was not make a joke about this machine. I want to tell you that modern science accepts our theory, that for thousands of years we have been propagating this theory, that if you lessen the number of thoughts per second in your brain, you will pass to such and such an effect. They are trying to prove now, by this machine, that your thoughts are lowered, and when they are lowered to this many thoughts per second, you will experience this. When they are further reduced to this, you will experience this. This is what the Yoga Sutras and the other yoga philosophies have been telling us, that we have to entertain certain techniques whereby we lower the rate of thinking. Let us see what we have here before. From our notes of January-February 92, on page 2, we refer 12, it talks about slowing down thought formation. To achieve this, there is an external artificial method. That means the machine. Such a method is non-structural because the individual does nothing to bring it about. Modern-day scientific instruments are able to reduce the brain cycle, which indicate the rate of flowing river of thoughts. In other words, when the cycles reduce, they also reduce the rate at which thoughts normally form and flow. By such artificial means, thought rate is reduced in 3 further stages from the one normally existing. Normally, the human brain generates beta cycle waves. The other 3 are generated by A, as stated above, by external help, and B, are generated by individual consciously as per yoga abhyas, more as per yoga sutra of Sage Patanjali. A is called non-structured, non-disciplined, because even after generating, please add any, generating them, they do not form the structure of the individual and will soon evaporate. B is called structured and disciplined because when generated by the individual consciously, forms the structure of the individual and remains with the individual. Supposing this machine, as it claims, what to do, what it claims to do, no sooner you put it off, rate of thinking will start going up and your awareness will start coming down. That is why it is called non-structured, non-disciplined way of generating lower cycles of thought. While the discipline and conscious generation by yoga methods change your structure. That means if you have achieved it, your rate of thought will remain at that level. Your awareness will go up and remain at that level. It will change your structure. You get my point? This is the difference. Is that enough? We have to examine so many things. This should now begin systematically. Scientific yoga practices mean that if the same techniques and practices are followed by 10 persons, each must get the same user. Besides this, Yoga Sutra of Sage Patanjali are scientific because modern day scientific progress confirms what was expressed ages ago by Sage Patanjali. The body-brain system is pain because it is the seat of pain. The senses, the objects and the perceptions, the awareness, lead to suffering. Even pleasure is pain, because it is followed by pain. The 3 principal causes or sources of suffering are physical, emotional, mental, cosmic or heavenly. So a human being is not only anxious, but is engaged in getting rid of pain and escape from suffering. The methods you may follow may or may not be correct. The mere fact of existing in time, that is, has a term of life, implies suffering. In contrast to other living beings, including gods, man alone has the possibility of rising above his position and abolish suffering. Here, I have mentioned three causes: physical, emotional, mental, and cosmic or heavenly. The cause of suffering. A is physical, B is emotional, mental, and C is cosmic or heavenly. Heavenly means not sent by God. Well, if you say so.
No, we mean the Dharma.
Yes? Yeah, it means that. So, that's called heavenly. I couldn't use another word for it. There is a certainty of a means of putting an end to suffering. All these practices mean there is a certainty of a means of putting an end to suffering. One is not left to despair and pessimism. Total liberation from all suffering is the basis of Yoga Abhyasa, and in particular, Yoga Sutra of Sage Patanjali. His system deals with brain-mind system, its functions and its control. Yoga is structured and disciplined conditioning of the body-brain system, involving time and labor, which discourages many people like you present here. When the organs and glands of the body are diseased, there is a change in the vibratory rate, namely resonance of the tissues, resulting in disturbance in the total body-brain energy level. Cells in the living body possess great sensitivity and selectivity to specific magnetic and electromagnetic fields. Living cells require very minute quantities of energy. Let us read this two lines again. Cells in the living body possess great sensitivity and selectivity to specific magnetic and electromagnetic fields. If we read these two lines, it encourages the use of machines. If you read these two lines, it encourages the use of machines. Because the cell is prone to what? A selectivity to magnetic and electromagnetic fields, which a machine can create more easily than we can create by yoga methods. Nevertheless, with yoga methods, we do create magnetic and electromagnetic fields within our body-brain system. And they are more lasting. Energy systems of the body can be activated and balanced from external machines as well as internal sources, yoga. Energy transfer can take place according to the laws of resonance. Please remember this very, very carefully. Energy transfer can take place according to the laws of resonance. Resonance is an energy exchange between two bodies when their vibratory fields are of very similar frequency range. Please read again and again when you go home. Based on this important law of resonance, the energy field of the physical body is brought to the level of energy field of the astral or molecular body for transfer of higher, not light, higher energy from the astral or molecular body to the physical body by maintaining a rhythm and constant speed of breath intake in the physical body as well as prana intake in the astral or molecular body by the help of three-step rhythmic breathing. prana is an ancient word meaning higher types of energies. And as prana is of seven grades, it means many types of higher energies, and which could circulate in the physical as well as in the molecular or astral body. A little warning here. But too high energy external therapies. That means if you love this machine too much and try to make too much use of it, it says, but too high energy external therapies or internal practices are disruptive and harmful. Cerebral energy levels play an important role in the maintenance of the total body-brain energy level. When the brain's energy level is low and when the cerebral hemispheres are imbalanced, the brain cannot function at full efficiency. The human brain generates four types of energy patterns or cycles, namely beta, alpha, theta and delta, each of a specific frequency circulating throughout the cerebral cortex and in the deeper layers of the brain. A specific frequency pattern promotes a specific state of awareness of the individual. The deeper the frequencies penetrate, the deeper levels of the brain. Whether we are awake or asleep, our brain is always in a state of activity. When we are ordinarily engaged, beta activity of 16 to 30 cycles per second predominates. That is, the rate of thought formation normally is between 70 to 120 thoughts per second. Not second, but you should write there, pulse beat. Beta activity in excess can lead to dangerous situations, criminal. Such waves can be passed on from person to person as incoming impulse, like the crowd psychology. Because the human brain is a resonator capable of receiving and transmitting energy waves. Besides this, has health depleting effects of stress, violence, fear, lust, greed, hatred, jealousy and other negative emotions. That is what science says today. That is what the manufacturers of the machine say today. What? That besides this has health depleting effects of stress, violence, fear, lust, greed, hatred, jealousy and other negative emotions. Thus did not read parallel to what Yoga Sutra says, thoughts contrary to yoga are so and so. And also when the sutras talk of hindrances and obstacles. That means the Yoga Sutras are talking about the beta wave cycle in our brain, when the rate of thoughts is between 70 to 100. It means that the brain mind of an average person generates beta waves, and how these can be changed by structured and disciplined yoga methods to higher energy waves. When the brain wave pattern further slows down to 17 to 14 cycles per second, that is 30 to 60 thoughts per pulse beat, we enter alpha awareness, which is not really relaxed, yet alert awareness state, highly desirable. If your thought rate only goes down from between 70 to 100 to 30 to 60, all these negative emotions will not disturb you. Between 30 and 60, all the mentioned negative emotions will not disturb you. And the first stage is dharma. When the thought rate is between 30 to 60, we are in a state of dharma. That means we are free from negative emotions. What is next? It is to be noted that the Earth's electromagnetic field, ranging from 1 to 100 cycles per second, picks out alpha state cycles at 10 per second, if your brain has steadily maintained the lower cycle. This means that in this state, we can tune to Earth's magnetic energy, greatly enhancing alpha awareness. Refer page 10, paragraphs 2 and 3 onwards in the last note. I would like to read out for you. In our last month's note, we said, but through expanded awareness, or as we have mentioned earlier, pure awareness, the limitless reality that is lost to us otherwise is made available. This pure awareness is Chitti or infinite divine mind. Many things do not exist for us, not because they are not there, but because in our inside we have not shaped our brain to perceive them. I am reading again these few lines. Many things do not exist for us, not because they are not there, but because in our inside we have not shaped our brain to perceive them. That the state of dharana, or the state of dhyana, you normally say you are not able to enter into that state because you have not practiced any means to reach that state of your brain. We are not trying to create anything new. I've told you time and again that we are all structured in transcendence. Like the eyes of a kitten, I've told you. If they don't open and close the eyes in the first few days, they remain blind. If in our schools and colleges, if we are taught how to be aware of our higher self, we would not remain blind like the kittens all our life. It is a pity that having the treasure that the whole universe can't hold, we are still all beggars. That is a pity. If we had been born beggars, it would have been worthwhile. But holding within ourselves the treasure of the universe, we are all beggars. From the mere fact that we are not made aware of the treasure that is within us, and we are not made aware as to how by simple technique we could contact that treasure. Instead of asking the child for 11 years in school to get his SSC, it would be better if the child is trained for 1 year to touch these inner treasures of each individual. In India there was a time and it was known as the Upanishadic age, before Buddha was born. And in that age, every child was made to learn. Not only made to learn, but at a particular stage in life to leave house, home and practice it till death. These schools have closed down and your modern schools have come up, teaching you the modern education. Again I read, many things do not exist for us, not because they are not there, but because in our inside we have not shaped our brain to receive them. We leave the three channels only, waking, dream, sleep. We can never know that fourth state exists unless our nervous system is prepared for it. Understand this? It is clearly stated, unless your nervous system is trained for that. And yoga matters are nothing but to train your internal body system, body and brain system. That is why you are coming here. That is why, I then will come to our...
Shall I ask a question now or keep it for afterwards?
Pardon?
Shall I ask a question now or keep it for
afterwards? Well, ask it then if it's right.
I think it's right now. Because many times, we have had this in workshop and through your lesson, I think that an erroneous sensation has been created that you do not have two of asanas or pranayams. Because if you talk of the asanas, which actually Yoga Sutras are aiming at, to reach that asana, body, and as you said, other things, not merely the body has to be prepared. And I'm sure Yaman Yama, Shakya, Asana Pranayam, this is the whole thing for that. Though, as I think I was right when I said, erroneous impression has been created that we don't need other options, we don't need other pranayams.
May I emphasize and say, it is not erroneous, you don't need that.
Because
when you are
talking about
the
sensation,
I was thinking of
nine
shows
and another thing.
I'll come. Let us not go into the
technical. And it's a very
technical.
Yeah.
What I wish to convey to all of you is that even the Vedas are vast like the ocean. In that Veda there is no author. And because there is no author, even a fool like me has added something, because it will all go under Vyasa or somebody else. So, many things are added there. Many things not required are also added there. If we want to do all the things that are mentioned there, from morning till night we will have no other time but to do these things. That is why I discourage this, because we are not living like yogis in an ashram only for this purpose. We are householders living our normal life. We have some minutes in the morning or evening which we have to use very, very carefully so that we do only the most selected items. You see? Then in this context, I said this is not required. Everything is required if you want to see to it. But when you come to asana, one is better than the other till you go from 1 to the 84th. And one pranayam is better than the other till you go from 1 to the 84th. And then so many things, noli and dhoti and this and that. You will have no time left in your life to do anything else. That is why I am putting everything aside. I am picking out a few things so that even if you could spare 20 minutes a day or half an hour, which any normal person can, you will get the fruits. That is mine. I am trying to force three-step rhythmic breathing into your mind. Why? Because one day it should become a natural way of breathing, which you understand not even 1 minute after it. I am always again running away from our life, normal life, householder's life, our duties and obligations. And within that very narrow space of time, what is at most we can do? In that context, I say no to so many. You get my point? It is not an erroneous impression that they are not wanted. But they are not wanted because what else will you do if you go on doing all this?
So then you use the right word when you talk of context, and many times in communication we use the context.
But perhaps.
Do you mean? I'm saying, you, I should have said you.
I don't say you alone or others, but when I'm halfway through my notes, 90% are half asleep. I see them. They with great difficulty look at me. but they are not asleep.
So, I'm not telling you, you break off and they are asleep.